This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. I welcome you to the continuation of our explanation of the famous Hanbali text entitled Kitabu Furu' al-Fiqh by the great Hanbali scholar of al-Islam, Yusuf ibn Abdul Hadi al-Hanbali rahimahullah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, in our previous majalis, we concluded the matters pertaining to business transactions. We now move on bi-ithnillahi ta'ala to the fiqh al-usra, the matters of family fiqh, or ahwal al-shakhsiyya, the personal matters, the matters of marriage, divorce, etc. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the author states, الثالثُ مِنْ أُمُورِ الْفُرُوعِ, the third of the matters of the furu', of the secondary matters of fiqh, الْإِجْتِمَاعُ وَالْإِفْتِرَاقُ, the matter of joining, coming together, nikah, wal-iftiraq, and division, breaking up, the matter of separation, that is our matter of divorce, Allahumma musta'an. Take note, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, there are different types of separation. There might be a talaq, yes. There might also be a khul', where the sister, she wants out from the marriage. The wife says, I have no issue with your deen or your character, but I just cannot remain with you, and so I want a khul'. I offer you, O husband, such and such of property or money in exchange for my freedom. That's a separation called a khul'. Then there could also be the matter of li'an, where the husband accuses the wife of zina, and so then he swears by Allah four times, and he swears the fifth time that the curse of Allah be upon him if he is lying with regards to the accusation of zina upon her. He finds that she has committed zina. She might be pregnant. She might have a kid out of zina. He says, I don't want this kid to be linked up with me. I do not want this kid to be linked and related to me. I am not the father of this child. Allahu musta'an. Technically, if he does not have four witnesses, and in this case he doesn't, he would be lashed 80 lashes for false accusation. And so to avoid that, then he has the option of this li'an. And eventually, if it is done, and the wife, she also testifies and swears by Allah that he is lying, and the anger of Allah, if he is truthful, then they will be separated and they cannot be joined together ever again. There's also the matter of zihar. Somebody says, you are to me like my mother. He compares his wife to his mother. Allahu musta'an. Allahu musta'an. Then this year, this individual, there are certain rules, regulations with regards to that matter. The matter of ila, where someone swears by Allah that he will not be intimate with his wife. The qadi will give him 4 months. After 4 months, if you're not intimate or you do not divorce her, then the qadi can step in and separate between that husband and wife. So different types of separation we will discuss, insha'Allah. Let us discuss the matters of coming together first. Let us talk about the nikah, insha'Allah. Nikah, sunnah of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ma'ashara al-shabab, man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. Those of you who have the ability, then get married. The default ruling with regards to nikah is that it is recommended, but it might be wajib for certain individuals. You fear that you are going to fall into zina, it would become wajib upon you to get married. The author states, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, فَالْإِجْتِمَاعُ مُشْتَمِلٌ عَلَىٰ, coming together, the matter of nikah, it's built upon certain matters, certain principles, certain arkan, pillars. What are they? Number one, the nakih. Nakih is the zawj, the husband, the male who is getting married, and this is a pillar in any marriage. It's an important ingredient. Number two, we require the mankuh. The mankuh, this is the wife, this is the zawja, this is the wife, inshallah, and also a pillar in any marriage contract. Then we also have the munkih. The munkih is the wali of the girl, the wali of the zawja. La nikah illa bi wali. There is no nikah without a wali. And the wali is a precondition. It's a precondition. Then we also have the munkahin bihi. This is the sigha, the wording, the offer and the acceptance of this matter of marriage. It is also a rukn, a pillar. Wa munkahin alayhi. This is the sadaq or the mahar which is given by the husband or the family of the husband to this wife. And this is a matter which is wajib. If the amount of mahar is not mentioned at the time of the nikah is still valid. Even if the mahar was not discussed at all and they are now married for 5 years, 7 years, the nikah is still valid. This matter of the mahar, it is wajib. It's not a pulla. It's not a precondition. Then what do they do now? They married for 7 years. You know, we didn't discuss the matter of mahar. They can discuss it now, inshallah. And if they do not have agreement, then they look at her sisters, they look at her cousins. The mahar al-mithl, similar type of mahar to those women, will be given to this girl, insha'Allah. The author states, An-nakihu, more discussion with regards to the nakih, the zawj, who is a pillar in the marriage. Huwa zawj, wa huwa kullu dhakarin muwafiqin fi ddeen. This is every male, so the author doesn't mention any specific age. The age could be 5, 10, and technically, if the father of this boy who is 5 years old, the father steps in and gets him married to somebody for his own maslaha, for his own benefit, would that nikah contract be valid? The answer is yes. The answer is yes, according to the madhab, that there is no age restriction with regards to this matter. Muwafiqin fi ddeen, that who is similar in terms of the religion. Illa al-muslimu yubahu lahu nikahu nisa'i ahli dhimma. Kitabiyat, basically. Except the Muslim male, he is allowed to get married to a Jewish woman or a Christian woman. Otherwise, we need to have similar religions when it comes to the matter of marriage. Except that the Muslim man is allowed to get married to a Jewish or a Christian woman, inshallah. As for the Muslim woman, she is not allowed to get married to a non-Muslim man by consensus. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. This was with regards to the zawj. The zawj, the husband, insha'Allah, needs to be Muslim. And with regards to wa yushtaratu fihi, there's a condition with regards to him. An yakuna radiyan idha lam yakun tiflan aw majnunan zawwajahu abuhu. And it is also a condition that this man who is getting married, he must be pleased to get married to her. He must accept this matter of getting married to this woman. So the matter of radiyan means the acts of ikra. You must not be forced in the matter. You must not be forced in the matter. You have the choice of getting married to her. If you don't, then you don't want to, inshallah. Except if it is a kid. So the kid is 6 years old, father wants him to get married to this girl. Here, his acceptance or his permission is not really required. Why? Because he doesn't understand. He doesn't even know. The father is the one who is acting in his authority as the guardian, and he looks, inshallah, at the best interest for his son, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And so he looks at the maslaha. And obviously, this is only if there is maslaha, if there is benefit, inshallah. If the boy or the girl, they were married by their guardians, and after 5 years, 4 years, they reach bulugh, then they have khiyar. They have the option. Do they still want to remain married to this person? Or do they want to do their own choosing? They have that option, inshallah. Except obviously the one who is majnoon, then here the father is the one who decides the matter for him, inshallah. Zawwajahu abuhu, his father gets him married. Only if there is maslaha, if there is benefit, insha'Allah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. And it's only the father who can do this. Not the other guardians, like the uncles. No. The father. The Sharia looks at it from the point of view that the father holds your best interests close to his heart. And so he decides what is best for you, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. This is not a matter that we are stating that this is how it's supposed to be done. No. Absolutely not. But this is the official position of the madhab, the Hanbali madhab, insha'Allah. Jameel. Wal mankuh, the woman, the bride, the wife, inshallah. هي المرأة الموافقة في الدين. This is the woman who is the similar in religion. إلا الكتابية لمسلم. Except that the كتابي woman, she is allowed for the Muslim man, the Jewish woman, or the Christian woman, allowed for the Muslim man. Walhamdulillah. So there, if it's a Jewish girl, no issue, no problem. She doesn't have to be the religion of that husband who is a Muslim. If it's a Christian girl, she does not have to be of the same religion, which is Islam, to that husband. And one reason that the Sharia allows for the Muslim man to get married to a Christian or a Jewish woman is that bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, after they see your good behavior, your good akhlaq, your manners, etc., then they will be drawn to Islam, insha'Allah. Subhanallah. Look at what the Sharia is aiming for and looking forward to. As for the reality on the ground today, is very far from that. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, with regards to this bride, with regards to this wife, laysat min amudi an-nasab. She cannot be from your mother, your mother's mother, mother's mother's mother, etc. All and going up, not allowed. Cannot be your daughter, your daughter's daughter, your daughter's daughter's daughter, etc. And going down, granddaughters, not allowed to get married to one of them. That is haram, even if it be from zina. A'udhu billah, Allah save us. Somebody, he has a daughter from zina. He says, well, technically this daughter is from haram. So how can the haram make a halal haram? So I want to get married to this daughter from zina, his own biological daughter. Out of zina, wants to marry her. Allahu musta'an. This is totally, totally, totally haram. Wala ukhtan. The woman you want to get married to cannot be your sister, whether it be your full sister, whether it be your paternal sister, your maternal sister. As long as it's your sister, you cannot get married to her. وَبَنَاتِهَا, your sister's daughters, you cannot marry your nieces. وَعَمَّةٌ, your father's sister, your mother's sister, your khala. بَنَاتُ الْأَخْ, also the daughters of your brother. We can add that in, your nieces from that angle. You are not allowed to get married to them. The rest of the women of the dunya, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, you can marry, inshallah. وَيَحْرُمُ مِنَ الرَّضَاعَةِ مَا يَحْرُمُ مِنَ النَّسَبِ. That prohibited from this breastfeeding, this woman, she breastfed Ahmed within the first 2 years of Ahmed's life, and she breastfed Ahmed 5 or more times. She will now be regarded as the mother of Ahmed via suckling, and so Ahmed can't marry her. Her husband will be regarded as the father of Ahmed via suckling. This woman's children will be regarded as the brothers and the sisters of Ahmed via suckling. Ahmed's children cannot get married to those kids. Ahmed cannot get married to those siblings via suckling. Jamil. As for Ahmed's own brother, can he get married to one of Ahmed's brothers and sisters via suckling? Yes, because they have no link with one another. Ahmed was the one breastfed by that woman, and so that woman's children are regarded as Ahmed's brothers and sisters. As for Ahmed's own flesh and blood brother, can he get married to one of Ahmed's brothers or sisters? Can he get married to one of Ahmed's sisters, obviously, via suckling? Yes, absolutely no problem. But Ahmed cannot, because those are Ahmed's sisters via suckling. يا عبد الله يا أمة الله إذا رضع من امرأة أو أرضعت بنتا. So the same type of prohibition applies as is found when it comes to family relations. The same applies when it comes to the matter of this suckling, inshallah. If this kid was suckled by a woman, then he is regarded as the kid of that woman. Or if this girl was suckled by this woman, then this woman will now be her mother via suckling, insha'Allah. وَلَا تَحْرِيمُ فِي حَقِّ مَنْ لَمْ يَرْضَعْ مِنْ إِخْوَتِهِ وَأَوْلَادِهِمْ وَأَعْمَامِهِ وَأَوْلَادِهِمْ. As we discussed, Fatima breastfed Zayd. And now Zayd will regard her as his mother. He can shake her hand, he can travel with her, he can be her mahram, etc. But there's no inheritance between them. Then the husband of Fatima, she will be regarded as Zayn's, he will be regarded as Zayn's father via suckling. And their kids will be the siblings of Zayn via suckling. And then Fatima's mother will be the granny of Zayn via suckling. And Zayd's full brother can marry Fatima's daughter. That would be allowed because the prohibition applies to Zayn and not the others. Hayyakumullah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, Yusuf ibn Abd al-Hadi continues and he states, وَلَا يَجُوزُ لِلْحُرِّ أَنْ يَتَزَوَّجْ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ أَرْبَعَ. The free man cannot marry more than four women. وَلَا لِلْعَبْدِ أَنْ يَزِيدَ عَلَى إِثْنَيْنِ. The slave cannot get married to more than two women. So he's got the option of half. Jamil. وَيَحْرُمُ الْجَمْعُ بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ. You cannot get married to two sisters at the same time. You are married to Sumayya. If Sumayya passes away or if you divorce her, then you can get married to her sister by the name of Saliha. وَبَيْنَ الْمَرْأَةِ وَعَمَّتِهَا وَخَالَتِهَا. You cannot get married to a girl and her aunt. You cannot get married to a girl and her father's sister or her mother's sister. وَتَحْرُمُ الزَّانِيَةُ حَتَّى تَتُوبَ. You cannot get married to a woman who is known for committing zina until she makes tawbah, sincere tawbah. After she makes tawbah and she goes through an iddah to make sure she's not pregnant, etc., then you can get married to her if you so want. Allahumma musta'an. Even the person who was committing zina with her should not get married to her at that time. Both of them need to make tawbah. She goes through an iddah and then they can get married, insha'Allah. وَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ كَوْنِ الزَّوْجَةِ رَاضِيَةً. The author states, and it is imperative that the wife, she must be pleased with this marriage. She must be happy. She must accept this marriage. Except illa an yuzawwij ar-rajul ibnatahu al-bikr, except if a man, the father, except if a father marries off his virgin daughter ghayr al-baligha, meaning that she is not yet baligh. So he's got a virgin daughter who is still young and not yet baligh. According to the author, the father can make ijbar, can force her to get married to somebody, even though she might not be pleased, she might not be happy, she might not give consent with regards to this matter. Aw al-majnuna, and he's got a daughter who's insane, and for maslaha, for benefit, he gets her married. Obviously, her consent means nothing because she doesn't know what is happening. We can also add, aw as-saghira. Saghira meaning those who are under the age of bulugh. The father has the right to get them married off. According to the Hanbali madhab, the father can get them married even though they have not given explicit consent. How the Hanbalis look at this is that, well, their consent and their denial and their yes or their no really means nothing because they're not yet baligh, so they don't know what is going on. Whereas the father is acting in the best interest for them. He knows the ways of men. Well, that is the reality. No, that's far from reality today, Allahu musta'an. But this is the official position of the madhab. Doesn't mean one has to do this, Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, what the author mentions here, this is a riwayah in the madhab. This is not the official position of the madhab. In fact, the official position of the madhab is that the father can get his virgin daughter married without her consent. Whether she is baligh, whether she is not baligh, whether she is young, whether she is old, irrelevant. As long as she is a virgin, then the father can get her married without her consent. The only one that the father has to get consent from is the thayyib al-kabir, the one who was married previously and she is baligh. So the adult daughter who was previously married, she, father needs to ask her, do you want to get married to him? Do you not want to get married to him? Her consent and her denial and her acceptance, this is mu'tabar, this is important. As for the small one, as for the saghira, the one who's not yet baligh, as for the one who's having mental deficiencies, as for the one who is a virgin, adult or young, father has the right to get them married off. That's the official position of the madhab. Yes, there are other riwayat and other aqwal in the madhab. What we just mentioned is the official position. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Wal munkih wa huwa al wali. لا نكاء إلا بولي. There's no nikah without a wali. وهو أقرب ذكورها وجونا. The closest male relative to her, this is obviously the father. Father's not there, then the son, etc. or the brother, ثم الحاكم. And if there's no close male family member, then it is the ruler. ولا يزوجها إلا برضاها. As for this person, he can get her married only if she accepts. It's only the father who has that right of forcing her in marriage if she is a virgin or she is not yet baligh, etc. But as for another family member, as for her brother, as for her uncle, they do not have that right as the father has that right. يا عبد الله يا أمة الله ولا يزوجها إلا برضاها إلا المجبرة. Then the author states, وَالْمُنْكَحُ بِهِ وَالْمُنْكَحُ بِهِ وَهُوَ الْإِجَابُ وَالْقَبُولُ. The siga, the statement, the offer and the acceptance. The offer is from the wali. I offer my daughter Sumayya to you in marriage. Or from the agent of the wali. The agent will say, I offer Sumayya to you in marriage based upon the agency which was given to me by brother Ahmed. Jamil. And according to the madhab, it has to be in the lafz, the word of tazweej or inkah. Inkah. Ankahtuka or zawajtuka. Jamil. And it should not be in the English language or any other language. It has to be in Arabic according to the madhab. Jamil. And it has to be talaffuz. One has to say it. وَلَا بُدَّ مِنْهُ, if obviously one has the ability to verbalize it. وَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ تَعْيِينَ الزَّوْجَيْنِ. One needs to specify the husband and wife by name, by description. You can't say, I marry one of my daughters to you. I marry one of my daughters who's in medical school and he's got five of them in medical school. No, we need to know exactly who it is, either by name or by description or by pointing them out. Wal ishhad, we need to have witnesses at the nikah, two male witnesses. Wa fil kafa'ati khilafun. With regards to social parity between the husband and the wife, there is debate with regards to this matter. Generally, the fuqaha look at it whether he is on her level. Whether he is on her level. As for the opposite, whether she's on his level, they say this is really not really mu'tabar. She could be a slave, she could be poor, and he could be the king. No major issue here. But if she is a princess and he is a street sweeper, then here there is an issue. If she is from the Ahlul Bayt, for example, if she is from the Quraysh, and he is a cobbler, then there is no social parity between them. There's an issue according to some. When it comes to this matter of social parity, they look at number one, deen. Obviously, they both need to be on the same deen, Jayid. Then there's the matter, obviously, she is Muslim, so he has to be Muslim. She is Muslim, he needs to be Muslim. She is Muslim and he is Christian or Jewish, not going to work. Then the sharaf, reputation. So she is from a certain high-ranking family. She's the Khalifa's daughter. So is he on that level similar to her? With regards to the matter of hurriya, she is a free woman. Is he a free man? Sana'a, with regards to trade, she is this rich businessman's daughter. She is from, she is the Qadi's daughter. Who is he? He is a street sweeper. He is a beggar. This is not going to work, according to many. Then also the matter of wealth, the matter of reputation, the matter of nasab, lineage. She's Arab. He is not Arab. She is from the Hashemite tribe. He is not. So, ala kulli hal. There's great debate, as the author just mentions. There's khilaf with regards to this matter. Some ulama state the only matter we look at is the matter of deen and the matter of taqwa. And others look at the other criteria. What they're trying to get here is social parity so that they are similar. They are on the similar levels, so that hopefully they're not going to have major issues and problems. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, the author states, وَالْمُنْكَحُ عَلَيْهِ, that is the mahar, the sadaq, وَلَا بُدَّ مِنْهُ, we have to have this mahar. It does not have to be mentioned at the time of the nikah. It does not have to be verbalized. It can be agreed before, it can be agreed upon later on. No issue, insha'Allah. وَأَنْ يَكُونَ شَيْئًا لَهُ نِصْف, but it should be something that can be halved. Why? Because if he divorced her before khalwa and before consummation of the marriage and they agreed upon $10,000 as the mahar, then she will get half. So it must be something that could be halved if there was the need to half it. Walau Qur'anan, according to the author, that you could even give, You could even give the Quran or the teaching of the Quran. This could be the mahr, as is found in the famous hadith. But according to the official position of the madhab, this is not allowed. That this was only allowed for that man in that famous hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her to him in exchange for him teaching her the noble Quran. They state that that was specific to that man and cannot be generalized. Also, according to the Hanbali scholars, they state that you cannot take ujra, you cannot take a wage, a salary for teaching the noble Quran. So then they extend this, they extend it to the matter of marriage, that in exchange for the Quran, you cannot be making money. And so in exchange for teaching her the noble Quran, this cannot be the mahar in marriage, give her something else as the mahar. So the author differed with the official position of the madhab here. وَكِتَابَةً وَتَعْلِيمَ عِلْمٍ, that's no problem. You're teaching her geography, you are teaching her how to write, you are teaching her the Arabic language, you are teaching her fiqh, no problem. This can be the mahar, but not the teaching of the noble Quran. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, after discussing nikah, the author now moves to the matters of firaq, the matters of separation between husband and wife. Allah musta'an. Allah make our homes strong homes. Allah bond between the husband and the wife. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, this is, as we stated, fiqh al-usra. So we have to talk about the matter of divorce. We are not from amongst those people who state, and until death do us part. No, no, no. Maybe we part before that. Maybe there is maslaha and benefit. He is the wali of Allah. She is the waliya of Allah. But they come together and it's a house on fire. They cannot make this marriage work. Then they divorce, he marries someone else and mashallah lives a beautiful life. She marries someone else and lives a beautiful life. Alhamdulillah, khayran baraka. Not everyone is meant for everyone. The author states, ahaduha, from amongst the different types of separation, we have the khul'a. Khala'a means to remove something. This is requested from the side of the wife. Ala iwad, there must be an exchange. There must be some sort of property which is exchanged. She gives to him in exchange for her freedom. Ala shiqaq, so there's an issue, there's a problem between both of them. And so she says, you know what, I want out from this marriage. I give you back the mahar, or I'll add to it another few $1,000. Give me my freedom. Wa huwa faskhun la yunqisu adad at-talaq. And according to the madhab, if a proper khula is given, then this will not be counted as a talaq. This will be counted as a fasq. He says to her, I give you a khula in exchange for the $10,000. This is a khula. She will go through, according to the madhab, her three menses, and then her idda is over. She can marry someone else, whoever she wants to marry. Walhamdulillah. But between herself and the ex-husband, has a talaq occurred? No. A separation, a fasakh occurred. And so they could get married later on in history if they so wanted. And let's say they went through another fasakh, they can later on get married again. And let's say they went through another fasakh, they could go through 20 different fasakh, mashallah. This will not be counted as talaq. But in talaq, you only have up to three. The author states, athani, the second type of separation, talaq. Wahuwa murattabun. على وهو مترتب على مطلق then مطلق and مطلق به. As for the مطلق, مطلق is the husband, the زوج. He is the one who has the divorces in his hand, or his agent. حتى الزوجة, he can also give the option to that wife. He says to her, you know what, for the next 30 minutes you have the right of one divorce in your hand, choose what you want. And if she chooses divorce, then she would say, I divorce myself from you, O my husband Ahmed. And now one divorce has taken effect. He gave her the divorce in her hand. He delegated one divorce to her, and that is permissible. Wal mutallaq, he is zawja, the wife who has been divorced, jayid. Can you divorce her before you get married to her? Absolutely not. Can you walk on the street and divorce a woman who is not married to you? Absolutely not. With regards to somebody, he says, you know what? If ever I marry Sumayya, she is divorced. Wife made him promise such and such. Maybe he was interested in Sumayya previously. So he says that if I ever marry Sumayya, she is divorced. And later on, he gets married to Sumayya. Will that divorce come into effect? No. Why? Because at the time of statement, she was not your wife at all. So it meant nothing at all. Jamil. وَيَمْلِكُ الْحُرُّ ثَلَاثَ تَطْلِيقَاتٍ. The author mentions وَالْمُطَلَّقُ بِهِ وَهُوَ اللَّفْظ, the statement of divorce. It could either be صريح, which is explicit, I divorce you, you are divorced, I give you a divorce. يَقَعُ بِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ نِيَّ, this takes place whether you intended or not. Somebody says to his wife, I divorce you. We don't ask him, brother, what was your intention? We don't ask him, brother, what was in your heart? When you say the explicit word, it is counted. We do not ask you about intention at all. But if your divorce was implicit, I had enough. Go to your mother's house. This is it. I've had enough. I cannot take it any longer. Then this here is implicit. What do you mean by this? Do you mean separation between us or don't you? What do you mean by this implicit statement? The implicit statement could also be ظاهرة أو خفية. يقع بالظاهرة وبالخفية مع النية. Then here we ask you about your intention. If you intended divorce, then it would be counted as a divorce, separation. And if you didn't intend, what you meant by go to your mother's house, go for a holiday, go and let's be apart for a short while, let things cool down. It all depends on his intention at the time of statement. وَيَمْلِكُ الْحُرْ ثَلَاثَ تَطْلِيقَاتٍ. As for the free man, he has three divorces in his hands. وَإِنْ كَانَ تَحْتَهُ أَمَةٌ. Even though he might be married to a slave, because he is free, he has three divorces that he can exercise upon her. وَلَعَبْدُ تَطْلِيقَتَيْن. As for the slave, he has two divorces. وَإِنْ كَانَ تَحْتَهُ حُرَّةٌ. Even though the slave might be married to a free woman, because he is a slave, he only has two divorces. وَيَصِحُ الْإِسْتِثْنَى وَيَصِحُ إِسْتِثْنَاءُ أَقَلَّ مِنْ نِصْفٍ. You are allowed to deduct. Technically not allowed, but valid. It would be valid to deduct in terms of divorce, istithna, except that which is less than half. Meaning, somebody says, I divorced you three times except one. Three times except one. So it will be counted as two divorces. But why? Because one divorce is less than half. I divorced you three times minus one. Less one. One is less than half of the three. So it would be counted, it would be valid, that statement. But if somebody says, I divorce you three times minus two. Two is more than half of three. So here it would not be counted and three divorces would be issued. So we are talking about what is the exception. I divorce you three minus one. We will count the minus one. And so only two divorces will come into effect. Because one, it is less than half. But if he said, I divorce you three minus two, then here we cannot validate that two because it is more than half. And according to the madhab, that minus two won't be counted and three divorces will be issued. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, remember, as some ulama state, that with certain types of divorces, it's only the fuqaha who would divorce in that manner. Because the average layman, not reading the books of fiqh, these type of divorces wouldn't even cross his mind. Allahumma musta'an. وَيَصِحُ الطَّلَاقُ مُنَجَّزًا. مُنَجَّزًا meaning immediately. I divorce you. Takes effect right now. وَمُعَلَّقًا عَلَى شَرْطٍ يَقَعُ عِنْدَ وُجُودِهِ. And it can also be linked, associated with a condition. And if the condition is met, then divorce takes effect. Example, if you step out of this house, you are divorced once. She stepped out, one divorce takes place. When the sun rises, the one divorce comes into effect. When the sun rises, then one divorce will come into effect. وَمِنَ الطَّلَاقِ بَاءٍ وَهُوَ الثَّلَاثِ. Then we have two types of talaq. One is irrevocable and one is revocable. Ba'in, irrevocable. You have given this woman the third divorce, or you've given her three divorces in one go. Haram to do that. But according to the madhab, it would be valid and it would be counted. So you divorced her, I divorce you three times. Or you divorced her in 1992, 94, and now 2020, third divorce takes place. Separation between husband and wife is irrevocable. After her iddah is done, she can get married to whomsoever she wants. And can she get back to her original husband? No. Not until She gets married to another man in a proper valid nikah, and if that guy then passes away or he divorces her in a proper divorce, in a proper marriage that was consummated and then he divorced her, then she can remarry the original husband if they so want. This is the Bainuna Al-Kubra, the major parting, the major separation. وَالطَّلَاقُ عَلَىٰ عِوَضُ, also طَلَاق عَلَىٰ عِوَضُ, where there was a طَلَاق in exchange for some sort of property. So this is different from the خُلَع. خُلَع is when the husband says to her, I set you free in exchange for the $20,000. We've done this. This is the khula'. It takes the ruling of a fasq. But if he used the word talaq, I give you a talaq in exchange for $20,000, then this here, according to the madhab, is regarded as a talaq ba'in, an irrevocable talaq. Irrevocable talaq. Jayid. Also, وَقَبْلَ الدُّخُولِ, husband, wife got married, and subhanAllah, husband 5 minutes later, he says that, you know what, I made a mistake here. I do not want to be married to her. He hasn't met with her after the nikah. He hasn't been alone with her. He hasn't consummated the marriage. And so he divorces her here. Then this is also a talaq by an irrevocable type of talaq, insha'Allah. Jameel. As we've learned previously, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, that according to the madhab, there are certain scenarios where khalwa equals the ruling of consummation. Meaning, husband-wife got married, and the husband and wife were then alone in a room together. Nobody was with them. They were there for half an hour sitting and talking. Later on, he divorced her. There will be iddah upon her, because we will regard this half an hour that they were together as the marriage having been consummated. Even though she says, I'm still a virgin, he didn't even touch me. According to the madhab, technically this would be like dukhul. This would be similar to consummation. Jameel. So here the khalwa takes the ruling of the dukhul, of the consummation of the marriage. And if he did so and he divorced her in that circumstance, then she will also get the full mahar, etc. Jameel. Wa raj'i. So we have talaq, which is ba'in, irrevocable, and talaq, which is raj'i, which is revocable. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. A beautiful benefit of studying this book is that a bird's eye view we get of the entire section of fiqh, masha'Allah. All the different sections, we have a bird's eye view of them, walhamdulillah. So talaq raj'i, revocable, where somebody had divorced his wife one time or two times. وَهِيَ الْوَاحِدَةُ لِلْمَدْخُولِ بِهَا. So this is the wife that the marriage was consummated. They are married for 10 years and then he divorced her one time, or he divorced her two times. These are revocable types of talaq. Meaning, one day later, 2 days later, during the iddah, he says to her, I take you back. They are back to normal, husband and wife, all is good. But obviously, that divorce was counted. But it's different from the third divorce that you cannot say to her that I take you back. You don't have any option of taking her back after the third divorce. Allahumma musta'an. That's the major parting, the Bainuna Al-Kubra. Jameel. The author states, إذا كانت بغير عوض. Obviously, if there was an exchange with this talaq, then as discussed previously, it is a buy-in type of talaq. Think about it. If the woman gave you $10,000 in exchange for a khula' or in exchange for the talaq, and then 5 minutes later you can say to her, after taking the $20,000, I take you back, then what's the point? It has to be irrevocable because she's paid for her freedom in this matter. يَمْلِكُ رَجَعَتِهَا مَا دَامَتْ فِي الْعِدَّةِ. Husband has the right of unilaterally taking her back as long as they are still in the iddah. Remember, the iddah of divorce, if she menstruates, is 3 menses according to the madhab, and 3 months if she is somebody who does not menstruate. Walo karihat, even though she doesn't want to go back to this husband, he divorced her. 5 days later, he says, I take you back. They are back to normal, husband and wife. Even though she doesn't want to, even though she doesn't like to, she doesn't really have a choice in the matter. If she wants separation, there are other options that she can evoke, insha'Allah. But otherwise, they're back to normal because they were still husband and wife. The marriage was just suspended, but not fully suspended. If he died, she would inherit. If she died, he would inherit, etc. إذا أشهد. That when you want to take back your wife, the author states, that you need to have witnesses, that, you know what, come and witness, I am saying to her that I take her back. This here, this is not the official position of the madhab. Official position of the madhab that it's mustahab. It is not something which is obligatory, not obligatory. Whereas there are other riwayat, and it seems that the author has gone with the other riwayat. As for the official position of the madhab, official position of the madhab that this is mustahab and it is not an obligation. Author states, الثالث من الفراق. The third type of separation is zihar. You are to me like the back of my mother. You are to me like my mother. You are comparing your wife to your mother. Allah musta'an. فَإِذَا تَظَاهَرَ مِنْ زَوْجَتِهِ. If he did this and he said this to his wife, then number one, he is sinful and she is haram upon him until he sorts out the kafara. What's the kafara? Set free a slave. Can't do that. Then you move on to the next one. Fast 60 days consecutively. Can't do that. Then you move on to the third, which is that you need to feed 60 poor Muslims. Only after you sort out the kafara, only then would she be permissible for you. So we've covered the matter of khul', we covered the matter of talaq, the different types of talaq. Remember also, it's haram to divorce your wife in the menses when she is menstruating. Haram, haram, haram to divorce her. Haram to divorce your wife more than once. To say I divorce you two times is haram. To say I divorce you three times is haram. To do that is totally impermissible. One divorce does the job. Also haram to divorce your wife in a clean period that you were intimate with her. In the menses it's haram. What about the clean period? You were intimate with one another, had intercourse. 2 days later you had an argument, we want to divorce her. No, you can't. Haram, haram, and haram. You have the haram of divorce, the bid'ah of divorce in number, and the bid'ah of divorce in time. Number, more than one. And in time, during the menses, and also during a clean period that you were fully intimate with her. Haram, haram, and haram. The author continues, وَالرَّابِعُ, the fourth type of separation, اللعان. فإذا قذفها بالزنا, he accuses the wife of zina. فعليه البينة, then he needs to provide four male witnesses who are upright. And if he cannot, then there will be the had penalty which will be applied upon him, the Islamic legal penalty applied upon him for false accusation. أو الملاعنة, or he goes down the route of this لعان. بأن يشهد خَمْسَ مَرَّاتٍ أَنَّهَا زَنَتْ. 5 times he swears by Allah that she's fallen into zina. وَتُكَذِّبَهُ خَمْسَ مَرَّاتٍ. And she says that he is lying 5 times. So he testifies against her 5 times and she does the same. Then both of them would be separated by the qadi. They can never ever get back together. فَتَحْرُمُ عَلَيْهِ مَا لَمْ يُكَذِّبْ نَفْسَهُ. Then they will be permanently separated between one another. مَا لَمْ يُكَذِّبْ نَفْسَهُ. The author states, for as long as he doesn't then come back and say, well, you know what, I'm sorry, I lied against her. So according to the author, if he does so, then they could get back together. But the official position of the madhab is that no. The mu'tamad is that both of them would be haram upon one another. Even if he comes back later and he says, you know what, I lied against her, they can never ever ever get back together. So this is the matter of li'an. وَمَنْ حَلَفَ عَلَى تَرْكِ وَطْءِ زَوْجَتِهِ أَقَلَّ مِنْ أَرْبَعَةِ أَشْهُرِ. Whoever swears by Allah that he will not be intimate with his wife for less than 4 months, لَمْ يَطَأَهَا فِي كُلِّ وَقْتْ فَإِنْ فَعَلَ. Then if he stays away from her for those 3 months, that's whatever. فَإِنْ فَعَلَ كَفَّرْ. But if he did have intercourse with her during those 3 months, then he would need to sort out the kafara. But وَأَكْثَرَ مِنْهَا يَكُونَ الْإِلَهِ. But if he took a vow by Allah that he will not be intimate with her for more than 4 months, oh, now it's an issue. More than 4 months, now it becomes a major issue. يُضْرَبْ يُضْرِبَ لَهُ مُدَّةُ الْأَرْبَعَةِ أَشْهُرٍ. Then he will be given a period of 4 months. Qadi will give him that 4 months. After the 4 months, from the day of him taking that vow, after that, either he has to be intimate with her and have intercourse with her and be husband and wife once again, or يُفَارِقْهَا, or he separates from her. Separates from her meaning he divorces her. And if he says, no, I will not divorce her, nor will I be intimate with her, then the qadi will divorce her from him. The qadi will either divorce her from him, or the qadi will issue a fasq, an annulment between this husband and wife, because she cannot be your wife and not be your wife. She cannot be here nor there. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. With that, we have covered the matters of ijtima and firaq from the book Kitabu Furu'i al-Fiqhi by the great Hanbali scholar of Islam, Yusuf ibn Abdul Hadi al-Hanbali rahimahullah. May Allah have mercy upon him. May Allah grant him the best in this world and in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala record our sitting here in our scales of good deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you blessed. Remember, ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, that this book here gives you a bird's eye view of the matters of fiqh, insha'Allah. And step by step in our study, we will get stronger and stronger bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Hayyakumullah. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka al-abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.